From Washington, D.C., this is On the Ground. The ratcheting up of tensions by the U.S. and its allies keeps the world on edge, from Ukraine to West Asia to the Pacific. While in Congress, activists confront lawmakers and officials about the genocide in Gaza.
What are you doing to try to stop this genocide? And, you know, saying that if you can't do anything, you should resign.
And as billions are sent abroad for war, human needs like childcare in the U.S. are diminished or eliminated.
Childcare is not just about care. It is about workforce. It is about the economy. And without all of you, the economy doesn't work.
Yeah! All that and more coming up. Welcome to On the Ground, onthegroundshow.org, voices of resistance from the nation's capital. I'm Esther Averam. First, our headlines. The head of the International Atomic Energy Agency warned Thursday that a series of drone attacks at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear plant in Ukraine had significantly increased the risk of a nuclear accident at Europe's largest nuclear facility. Agency head Rafael Mariano Grossi called for maximum military restraint. Ukraine blames Russia for the strikes, and Russia, which controls the plant, says Ukraine is hitting the plant out of reckless desperation. Grossi said, quote, "I urge the international community actively to work towards a de-escalation of what is a very serious situation," end quote. Hamas chief Ismail Haniyeh said that the group will not budge from its position on deadlocked ceasefire negotiations after Israeli forces killed three of his children and four of his grandchildren in northern Gaza on Wednesday. He said, quote, "All our people and all the families of Gaza residents paid a very heavy price for the blood of their children, and I am one of them," end quote, Haniyeh said in a statement published by Hamas. The Gaza Health Ministry said at least 63 Palestinians were killed and 45 injured in Israeli attacks across the enclave on Thursday. More than 40,000 men, women, and children have been killed in Gaza and more than 75,000 wounded in Israeli attacks since October. And here in the U.S., leading up to Earth Day on April 22nd, organizers are planning protests in hundreds of communities to demand that President Biden declare a climate emergency and take other action to tackle the fossil fuel-driven crisis. Quote, "President Biden promised to be a climate president. Ahead of the 2024 election, young people are mobilizing to hold him accountable to that promise," reads a joint statement by the coalition composed of Campus Climate Network, Fridays for Future USA, and the Sunrise Movement. And for more on our headlines, I'm joined by our geopolitical analyst, the author and activist Gerald Horn, professor of history and African-American studies at the University of Houston. Welcome back to the show, Gerald.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, last week we talked about all the various pieces and ominous signs of world war. And without venturing into hyperbole, we wanted to just look at these matters in a very sober way. And it just seems that in the past week, signs are only getting worse. So I know we're talking about West Asia, Europe, and also the Pacific. So you choose where we start.
Well, let's start in West Asia. We expected, at least many of us expected, that with the ending of Ramadan this week, that the Iranians would seize the opportunity to retaliate against Israel after Israel, in violation of international law, bombed their legation in Damascus, Syria. I dare say that we should expect some sort of retaliation sooner rather than later. And in that regard, President Joseph Biden has said that the U.S. relationship with Israel is ironclad, his word, not mine, in regard to coming to Israel's defense in case Iran does choose to retaliate. And we also know that Iran has a number of weapons that it can deploy, meaning that it has allies in Syria, in southern Lebanon, in Yemen, and in Gaza. And that potential attack on Israel could bring in the United States, and certainly you do not expect Russia and China to stand idly by if Iran is attacked by the United States of America. Speaking of those two nations, we know that just this week, the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov was in Beijing going outside of protocol. He met with the Chinese president, Xi Jinping. Usually that does not occur, that is to say a foreign minister meeting with a president, but that bespeaks the gravity of the situation with regard to this conflict in Ukraine, with Foreign Minister David Cameron of the UK visiting the United States, meeting with the State Department, jetting down to Florida to meet with Republican presidential nominee Donald J. Trump. And as well, it's remarkable that Britain and France are patching up their tattered relationship, presumably because they both see that if Russia prevails in Ukraine, that it will bring these two Western European nations down a peg or two or three. And then with regard to the final theater, we see that in the South China Sea, there's jousting between Chinese vessels and vessels from the Philippines. We saw that just this week, the Prime Minister of Japan, Mr. Kishida, was in Washington, a state dinner at the White House this week, an address to the U.S. Congress this week. This was part of a trilateral summit, not a bilateral summit, but President Marcos of the Philippines attended as well as Prime Minister Kishida, meeting in the Oval Office with President Biden. We know that there is an equivalence of NATO being constructed in the Pacific, not to mention the fact that NATO has opened an office in that conflict-ridden region. What I'm referring to is the fact that AUKUS, Australia, the UK, the US, is about to become JAUKUS, with Japan joining.
I'm also pleased to announce that for the first time, Japan and the United States and Australia will create a network system of air, missile, and defense architecture. We're also looking forward to standing up a trilateral military exercise with Japan and the United Kingdom. And our AUKUS defense partnership with Australia and the United Kingdom is exploring how Japan can join our work in the second pillar, which focuses on advanced capabilities, including AI, autonomous systems. All told, that represents a new benchmark for our military cooperation across a range of capabilities.
And that was Biden speaking at that press conference on April 10th.
And then there is the Quad, Australia, Japan, India, the United States, which also is designed to encircle the People's Republic of China. And we also know that spending a remarkable 6 days in China was U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, who had a contradictory mission. On the one hand, she brought her begging bowl, seeking to encourage the People's Bank in Beijing to continue buying U.S. Treasury bills, fundamentally loans to the United States government to keep it afloat, at the same time that she was threatening China to ratchet down its productive capacity, because we know that BYD, the Chinese electric vehicle manufacturer, is challenging Tesla, has surpassed Tesla, in fact, in the last quarter, even though we also know that Tesla manufactures in China as well. We know that Comac, the Chinese airline manufacturer, is poised to challenge Boeing, which should not be that difficult given the problems that airplane manufacturer is facing. And so these tensions are ratcheting up in three crucial theaters, speaking of the Pacific, speaking of West Asia, speaking of Europe. with no end in sight.
Well, of course, the region that we've been focused on is Gaza and West Asia because of the tens of thousands of people murdered in Gaza. And here in D.C., you find that people are turning around after this bombing of the aid workers belonging to the World Kitchen Group. But I mean, for so many voters, it's too late. And with these more ominous signs on the horizon, an election in November just seems almost inconsequential because these forces that are seemingly not controlled by our votes are moving ahead. I'm talking about the military, industrial, congressional, academia complex, or it seems to be dictating events. And it just shows even more hypocrisy in terms of what is called democracy here.
Well, there are conflicting signals. On the one hand, you see that Bret Stephens, the hawkish columnist for the New York Times, has called on Mr. Netanyahu to step down. Now, of course, we know that the plan is to replace him with Benny Gantz, who is no prize when it comes to Palestinian rights. But still, I think that if Mr. Netanyahu is forced out, and more than that, forced into a criminal trial where he'll wind up in jail, that will have to be counted as a victory.
Well, we're certainly we have to keep watching the coming days in the Pacific, in West Asia, and in the area of Ukraine. Before we go, though, I want to tell everybody that the homegoing service for veteran SNCC activist, freedom fighter Dory Ladner is Saturday, April 13th, and that's here in Washington, D.C. at Shiloh Baptist Church. That's 11 a.m., and that's 1500 9th Street Northwest. And so I know that you might want to have some words for who we call Mama Dory here in D.C.
Well, sadly and unfortunately, I won't be able to make it to that home going, but please convey my regrets to her loved ones, because this woman warrior will be sorely missed. She made enormous contributions to the progressive movement, not only in Mississippi, not only in the District of Columbia, but nationally. A well-known anti-Jim Crow crusader, a close friend and partner of Pacifica and WPFW. It will be difficult to fill her shoes, but somehow we must try to do so.
Yes, and to honor her memory by continuing the fight and saying, you know, the struggle continues, victory is certain.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, rest in power, Dory Ladner. So I want to thank our geopolitical analyst, Professor Gerald Horn. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me.
And that will do it for our headlines and happenings. Stay with us. This is On the Ground, onthegroundshow.org, Voices of Resistance from the nation's capital. I'm Esther Averam. And now I'm joined by Medea Benjamin, co-founder of Code Pink, author, activist, And I had to speak to you, Medea, because I've been watching you this week in Congress confronting Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, then Samantha Power, and members of Congress in general about this continued funding of Israel while they mouth something different about being critical of Israel. So why don't we just start with you giving me your impression of this week, especially Lloyd Austin saying just with a straight face that they have no evidence of genocide in Gaza.
I think that's just terrible. How could he possibly say there's no evidence of genocide? It's like he closes his eyes and puts his fingers in his ears if he doesn't want to see or hear what's going on. But I was just disgusted to hear his answer to Senator Tom Cotton. And yes, we were in that hearing. Two people got up and spoke out, and then we were chanting and we were saying, stop supporting Israeli genocide, and got escorted out. And then, as you said, there was the hearing with Samantha Power, who is the head of the Agency for International Development, AID, and wrote a book about genocide. She's supposed to be the expert on preventing genocide. And yet here she is going along with the genocide. So we spoke out in her hearing as well and said, what are you doing to try to stop this genocide? And, saying that if you can't do anything, you should resign. And I think that's an important message to give to these officials in some different branches of the White House, that they really should resign.
Yeah, I'm going to play a little clip of that exchange between Austin and Tom Cotton.
I want to address what the protesters raised earlier. Is Israel committing genocide in Gaza?
Senator Cotton, we don't have any evidence of genocide being created.
So that's a no. Israel's not committing genocide in Gaza.
We don't have evidence of that,
to my knowledge. Yeah. Better than Director Burns and Director Haynes did last month at the Intelligence Committee when they dodged that question. You stand accused by those protesters of greenlighting genocide. Would you like to respond to that accusation?
What I would say, Senator Cotton, from the very beginning is that we committed to help assist Israel in defending its territory and its people by providing security assistance.
Medea, I mean, listening to that exchange, I mean, if I was angry at Austin's response, I was doubly angry at Tom Cotton doubling down when he seemed to be, challenging Austin. But no, he wasn't doing that. He was agreeing with him and this whole Biden administration that there is no genocide, and even suggested that providing aid and humanitarian aid to Gaza was similar to aiding Nazis. So this is just really upside down world we're living in. And I can't help but think about how history will judge us. You know, I'm trying to stay in the moment, but I'm thinking that this is an unthinkable moment to be living in.
I often think about the way that history will be judging us. And hopefully it will be talking about the way that Israel betrayed its idea that it was a homeland for Jews who said never again. And here they did it to the Palestinians. But I think history will really condemn the United States as well, because, you know, without the U.S. weapons, without the U.S. diplomatic cover, without this total U.S. support from the Biden administration and almost all of the members of Congress, Israel wouldn't be able to get away with that. So that's why we think it's so important and why we're in the halls of Congress every single day. And Esther, of course, people can join us because we meet 10 a.m. in the Rayburn cafeteria every single day and then divide up and go to different offices, go to different hearings, and bird dog these congressmen. I mean, it's not just Senator Tom Cotton. It's a lot of them that say these horrendous things. Just yesterday, the congressman who came once to the halls of Congress in an IDF uniform, Brian Mast, said we shouldn't give a cent, not 1 cent, in quote, humanitarian aid to Gaza, because they voted for Hamas. And we say, who is the they? Is the they the little babies? Is the they the children? I mean, who is it? And this idea that even these people who are fathers, who you think would have some sensitivity towards children and the needs of children, would not be so cavalier or so racist when it comes to Palestinian children.
Yeah, the whole idea of dehumanization, when you there's evidence given by doctors that children are being targeted by snipers, shot in the head, shot several times, like in the forehead. This is horrific, and these are horrific war crimes. And it's not so much about history judging us, but is there any accountability now? You know what I mean? If this is over tomorrow or a month from now, how can there be justice? How can there be accountability for these people who have shown such disregard for all the children, all the families, all the people murdered, doctors, nurses, aid workers, you know, long before the seven World Kitchen workers were killed, all the people, all the journalists, more than 100, right?
And we were, in fact, in one of the hearings that was supposed to be for protecting free speech. And we went in there and we knew they weren't even going to bring up the at least 95 journalists who've been murdered by the Israelis. So we went in there and we had pictures of them, photographs, we had descriptions of what happened to them. And before the hearing started, we got up in front of the whole audience there and started reading these. And we thought it was so important to show that in a hearing, in a committee that's supposed to be about protecting journalists, they weren't even going to talk about Gaza. And how did we know? Because we know the chairman of the committee is so pro-Israel, thinks that everybody in Gaza, just like Brian Mast, is a terrorist. And on Thursday, we went to an FBI hearing with Christopher Wray and called him out for the collaboration that they have with the Israeli different, quote, intelligence agencies, and also for the way the FBI has targeted U.S. citizens for social media that has been against Israel. So in every branch of our government, there is some complicity with Israel. And I also think we should recognize that in Congress, there is such a disconnect. I mean, Eleanor Holmes Norton, until this week, was not even calling for a ceasefire. And she would block her door, lock it, to not allow us in. Now, after the World Central Kitchen workers were killed, and she has signed on a letter, amazingly, saying that we should halt the weapons to Israel. And a couple of our people talked to her in the hall today, and she said she would vote against any measure that had more offensive weapons to Israel. So that is a sea change. And I think we have to recognize that it's a lot of it is due to grassroots pressure from the DC community that's been
Absolutely.
Really following her wherever they can to tell her to stop supporting Israel.
And I also know that she is being challenged by many people know Kimon Freeman, who heads WEAC Radio. He is challenging her for a seat.
Absolutely. And that makes a huge difference to have that kind of pressure coming from a primary challenger is really great. And I think was an important factor in her turnaround. Now, I wouldn't be too confident that she won't vote for more money for Israel. She says one thing, but I don't trust her. But it's great that Kimon is putting the pressure on her. And wouldn't it be wonderful to have him representing us in Washington, D.C.?
Wow, Congress would never be the same for sure. So while I have you, though, I'm spending some time in other parts of the show talking about the campaign of early childhood educators in D.C. to protest the proposed wage cut they would receive in Mayor Bowser's new budget. And some people would receive a salary cut of up to $20,000. Because there was an effort made a couple of years ago to pass legislation that would boost the pay of
of early childhood educators who were making really low salaries, especially for the cost of living here in D.C. And in the mayor's new budget that is being cut and maybe the whole program eliminated. So I know that Code Pink, for example, has a kind of like a peace economy campaign. And I just want you to just talk about the relationship between the cutting of human needs here at home and this being connected to the type of money being spent to send arms to Israel, arms to Ukraine, to arm Taiwan, et cetera.
Absolutely. I think this is so important that we talk about. This country has so much money. The government is now spending almost $1 trillion on militarism. And think of what that could be used for. It's really criminal that they get away with this. And we see how the basic needs of people is ignored in this country. We see how wealthy people are getting from their investments in the weapons industry. We see all these mansions outside of Washington, D.C., and so many of them come from these, quote, defense contractors, military contractors. Right. So we have a system that is so broken. You know, there's more lobbyists for the military defense industry. I hate saying defense. It's not.
The it's
military
not.
Industry. Yeah. Than there are members of Congress. And when I go through the halls and I go to these hearings, what I see constantly and hear are things like, we have to watch out for China. China is trying to overtake us, and China is creating so many problems around the world with the loans that they're giving out, and we've got to do something about that. And then we hear the same kind of vindictive talk about Iran. Iran is behind all the problems in the Middle East. They're behind the Houthis, the Hezbollah, they're behind Hamas. And so you see, it's all part of this vicious campaigns to make Americans afraid of other countries so that they can justify spending all this money on weapons instead of spending it on childcare and on free college education, on a decent healthcare system, things that countries that are so much poorer than us already have, countries like Israel has, and we don't have.
And we pay for it. Wow.
And we pay for it. Absolutely.
And China is producing so many more STEM graduates, students who are really excelling at science and math and able to produce all these innovations that we say we need. It's so ridiculous that Janet Yellen was there recently in China, basically telling them, hey, you know, you're producing too many solar panels. You're producing too many electric cars. Oh, no. It's not fair. It's not fair. It sounds like a child, like, you know, like, you know, it's not fair. You're out producing us, and we can't have you flood the market with all your excellent products. So,
and of course, if we didn't spend $1 trillion on the military and we spent it on educating people, we would have such a better economy and such a better world. So that's the whole idea, is just to stop this idea that all these countries are our enemies and start cooperating.
Exactly. So anyway, it's always just, I don't know, it helps to keep me sane to at least be able to have conversations like this with you, to be in the streets with people. I know I haven't been on Capitol Hill with you lately, but
come and, you know, join us. We need you.
Yeah, to be out at the rallies with the Palestinian Youth Movement. That's where I've been spending more of my time lately. But still, to be out there in some way. And I always tell our audience about where they can connect. And so I'm happy to let them know that they can contact you and to meet you in Congress.
It's the Rayburn. It's the House side of Congress, the Rayburn Building in the cafeteria, 10 a.m. every day.
Yeah. Okay, good. So everybody hearing that. And also, if you want to connect and you can't remember everything we're saying, I think you can always write info@codepink.org, right?
Yeah, or go onto the website and look at events and you can sign up there. And
right.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it.
Right. Okay. And that's codepink.org. Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I've been speaking to Madea Benjamin, co-founder of Code Pink. Thank you so much for joining me today, Madea.
Great talking to you, Esther. Thanks for having me on.
I love this crowd. Who here is awake and ready to fight for childcare? Awesome. We are the workforce behind the workforce. If we don't work, no one works.
Somos los trabajadores, las trabajadoras detrás de los trabajadores, y si nosotros no trabajamos, no hay trabajo.
First of all, I want to introduce Raul, who is one of my favorite leaders from Comuna Kids. Hello, everybody. Welcome. It's so great to see all these beautiful faces, all of the people who are committed to the children of D.C.
Me encanta ver todas estas calles, todas estas caras muy bonitas acá en DC.
Y me llena de regocijo el saber. I am very happy and full of pride to know that there is so much commitment and so much love for our children and for our teachers.
Me llena de regocijo ver que están todas estas caras acá por nuestros niños acá en DC.
And when the children are put to the side, and when hugs are not given to them, and when basketballs and basketball courts are put first, it calls us for action, and it forces us to come back here and fight for our rights and fight for our children.
Cuando ponen a nuestros niños al lado y ponen a todos los lugares donde juegan al lado, es el momento con que tenemos que venir aquí a unirnos, a levantarnos para a luchar para los derechos de la comunidad.
Our teachers, our children deserve the best. And
yes, we do.
Nuestros niños, nuestros jóvenes, nuestras profesoras merecen lo mejor. ¡Sí, lo merecemos!
$300 million taken away. $300 million taken away. From early childhood.
300 millones de dólares se fueron quitados de la educación primaria.
It's an injustice. We will not take it, and we will go to wherever we need to go to make sure that we're heard.
Es una injusticia, y nos vamos a reunir donde sea para que nos oigan.
We got some great speakers before one of my favorite council members. So, let's hear it for the workforce behind the workforce. Let's hear from a teacher.
Tenemos otras personas de que van a hablar antes de que hable la miembro de consejo, pero antes de eso oigamos de las profesoras.
And our first teacher will be Miss Yesenia Vargas.
Y nuestra primera profesora va a ser Yesenia Vargas.
Buenos días, mi nombre es Yesenia Vargas, trabajo en Petit Escolar por más de 6 años.
Good morning, I've been an educator for more than 6 years.
Nuestro trabajo es esencial.
Our work is essential.
Cuando empezó la pandemia, fuimos de los primeros que salimos a trabajar afuera, sin tener un seguro médico. Si no, la economía se hubiese parado.
At the beginning of the pandemic, we were the first ones to return to work, even though and the economy stopped.
La alcaldesa hizo una promesa para la educación temprana y ahora esa promesa la ha revocado. No es justo. Nosotros también somos importantes para la economía de este país.
The mayor made a promise to the community for early childhood education and then took that promise back. And it is an injustice to the community.
Nuestras familias también merecen tener una economía estable. No es justo. Tenemos que buscar otras oportunidades. Nosotros estamos dando una educación de alta calidad.
Our families too deserve a good quality of work. We should not be sacrificed.
Hemos sacrificado nuestras familias porque tenemos que cumplir un horario de trabajo. Ahora, con esto, nosotros teníamos una estabilidad económica.
Son 10 horas. We have to sacrifice our time and our families in order to be able to work for the community. It's 10 hours! 10 hours!
Por favor, educadoras, padres de familia y toda la comunidad, debemos de seguir trabajando y que la alcaldesa escuche nuestra voz.
Please, educators, parents, family members, community members, we have to continue fighting so that the mayor hears our voice.
My family are early educators.
Mi familia son educadores de edad temprana.
So earlier this week, when Councilmember Henderson spoke up for teachers at the council, she spoke for my family.
Entonces, temprano esta semana, cuando la concejal Henderson habló por los educadores, ella habló por mi familia.
Without further ado, Councilmember Henderson.
Y sin más retraso, la concejal Henderson.
Good morning. Good morning.
Buenos días. Buenos días.
This is such a beautiful crowd.
Es un grupo muy bonito.
Many of you, I heard you yesterday, you came to the hearing to speak, to tell your stories. I want to say thank you.
Muchos de ustedes vinieron a la audiencia ayer. Quiero decir gracias.
I also want to express appreciation to the families who also spoke on behalf of the teachers who were working yesterday to share their voice, to share their experience, to share how important this has been.
Y también quiero darle las gracias a todas las familias, las personas que vinieron ayer, que estuvieron trabajando. Quiero extender mi apreciación por todos ustedes.
I didn't anticipate getting emotional on Tuesday, but I walk into a child care center every day, every single day.
Yo no anticipé ponerme tan emocional el martes, pero yo entro a un centro de educación temprana todos los días, todos los días.
The teachers who take care of my children, who support my children, who have taught my children how to count to 10 and ABCs, and she's only two, who hugs her when she falls, who supports her when they have conflict.
Los educadores que ayudan, que enseñan a mi pequeño, pequeña, le han enseñado a contar, le han enseñado las letras, que cuidan a mi bebé cuando se hiere, cuando algo le pasa.
I want to thank you for the work that you do each and every day, but thanks is not enough. You need fair pay.
Quiero darle las gracias. Quiero darle las gracias por su trabajo, pero las gracias no es suficiente. Necesitan que se les pague lo justo.
You need fair pay. You need health care, which we promised you. Many of you have it.
Necesita que se les pague lo justo y también seguro médico.
And so we're going to do everything in our power to reverse these cuts because it is so important. Child care is not just about care. It is about workforce. It is about the economy. And without all of you, the economy doesn't work. Yeah!
Vamos a hacer todo lo que está en nuestro poder para que para regresar estos recortes, porque esto no es solo acerca de un seguro médico, es acerca de todos ustedes, es acerca de la fuerza laboral, es acerca de nuestros niños.
This is not over. We're going to keep working. Thank you so much for being here.
Vamos a seguir peleando.
That's our champion.
Nuestra campeona.
Last week at the DC Council, I met Miss Jackie.
La semana pasada en el concejal yo conocí a la señora Jackie.
She reminded me of my grandmother, an 80-year-old early educator who still works full-time to save for retirement.
Ella me acordó de mi abuelita que tiene 80 años, que es trabajadora de educación primaria, que todavía está trabajando para poder salvarse un poquito de dinero para poder retirarse.
There is nothing I can say more wise than Miss Jackie. So Miss Jackie, have the floor.
No hay nada más con más sabiduría que yo pudiera decir que la señorita Jackie. Señorita Jackie puede entrar.
Good morning, high quality early childhood educators and supporters. Good morning.
Buenos días, educadores de gran calidad. Buenos días.
Thank you for being here this morning.
Muchas gracias por estar aquí hoy en día.
I'm a senior lead teacher with 40 years of experience in the field.
Yo soy educadora a primaria con más de 40 años de experiencia.
Look at how many educators are here today. We are powerful when we work together.
Miren cuántos educadores están aquí hoy en día. Somos poderosos cuando estamos juntos.
I know all of us are upset about the pay equity fund cut.
Yo sé de que todos están enojados sobre los recortes del fondo de salario igualitario.
I also know we are determined to fight back.
También sé de que estamos, por supuesto, a luchar.
DC was one of the first cities that required early childhood educators to obtain a degree in the field.
Washington DC fue una de las primeras ciudades que requirió de que las educadoras de educación primaria tengan un bachiller, un certificado en su trabajo.
And for doing so, we would be paid a fair compensation.
Y por hacer eso, nos iban a pagar justamente.
We did our part. Mayor Bowser's elimination of the pay equity fund shows that she undervalues early childhood educators.
La eliminación de este fondo igualitario enseña de que la alcaldesa no está sirviendo a los educadores de educación primaria.
But after today, she won't underestimate us.
Pero después de hoy, no nos van a ver de menos.
This is an injustice.
Esto es una injusticia.
The pay equity fund is a long-term commitment. Commitment.
Este fondo es un compromiso de largo tiempo. Un compromiso.
To solve the long-term problem of pay inequity for educators, most whom are black women and women of color.
Para poder tener una solución a esta inequalidad para educadores de educación primaria, la mayoría de cuales son mujeres negras y mujeres de color.
This isn't charity. Teachers earn their money.
Esto no es caridad. Las profesoras ganan su sueldo.
This is the true value of our work and cutting the pay equity fund would send the message that our work is less valuable.
Esto es el valor real de nuestro trabajo, y cortando este fondo enseñan de que nuestro trabajo tiene menos valor.
Crime rates will go up.
Van a subir los crímenes.
There is already a teacher shortage crisis. Too few people are choosing to become teachers, and many teachers are leaving the field.
Ya hay un crisis de profesoras. Muchas personas no están haciendo de profesoras, y muchas personas están saliendo de este tipo de trabajo.
I fear this will pour gasoline on that fire.
Me da miedo de que esto va a empeorar toda la situación.
That's why we have to fight back and demand that the pay equity fund be restored.
Por esa razón tenemos que luchar y demandar de que protejan al fondo de igualdad salarial.
When what we need is no longer being served at the table, that's when we need to get up and walk away. Thank you all for being here.
Those were early childhood educators and supporters rallying April 5th, 2024 in downtown D.C. to protest proposed budget cuts by Mayor Muriel Bowser that teachers say will hurt them, children, and families. Up next, one of the organizers of that rally. This is On the Ground. Stay with us. This is On the Ground, onthegroundshow.org, voices of resistance from the nation's capital. I'm Esther Evarim. Now I'm joined by Travis Bali, organizing director with DC Action, which convened the Under 3 DC Coalition to work on better outcomes for young children here in the nation's capital. Welcome to On the Ground, Travis.
Thank you so much for having me, Esther.
I should say that on this show, we have aired some of the voices from your April 5th rally. And it was just so moving to hear teachers and parents stand up and kind of advocate for teachers and the youngest, most precious, you know, children, human beings, you know, here in our city and in our district and region. But I was so struck by, you know, the announcement for the rally, because it said that, you know, because of the new budget proposed by Mayor Muriel Bowser, that some of the teachers, some of these educators for young children could lose up to $20,000 in salary or, you know, compensation for their work. And that sounded really crazy. So I really wanted to explore this, and because I know it probably impacts so many of our listeners, you know, both parents, grandparents, and the teachers themselves. So tell us about why people were out this month rallying and what's happening now.
Absolutely. I would be happy to. And first, you know, I just want to say we are on the eve of a very important day in the district, and that's Emancipation Day. Emancipation Day is about the abolition of slavery in the district. Right. And I think it's really important to point out that economically exploiting a largely Black and brown workforce is a part of a sad vestige of slavery, that when we passed fair pay and equitable pay for early educators, we said we are changing who we are as a society. We are doing right by this largely Black and brown early education workforce. And let me just tell you two examples.
And female, you know, which is...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How could I forget?
So the new law would basically wipe out that raise. You know, for example, if you did receive, you know, maybe $14,000 more, all of a sudden it would just be wiped away?
Let me tell you, here is what was more cruel than I expected. And I did not have a lot of high expectations for Mayor Bowser here. She did not just cut pay equity for early educators. She is proposing to completely eliminate the program. We're talking about eliminating a program after early educators have adjusted their retirement, have told their kids they can go to a college that they were planning on affording on their current salary, who have mortgage payments on homes that they bought for the first time because the pay equity fund brought them up to a middle-class salary. This is what Mayor Bowser is proposing, eliminating all of these dreams, all of this progress for this workforce. And we are not going to stand for it.
So I know after that rally, or it could be just before, many workers did testify before the DC Council. And tell me, in the little time we have left, what's happening now and how listeners, if they want to support, if they want to be in touch, how they can support the teachers and the families.
Absolutely. So look, Under 3DC Coalition and early education supporters have momentum on our side. A majority of the DC Council, they have expressed their opposition to these cruel cuts by Mayor Bowser to early educators. And these council members, they've expressed their opposition to cuts to the pay equity fund. We're also talking about other cruel cuts that Mayor Bowser has made, like the child subsidy fund, where working families rely on to pay for and afford childcare. Several council members have told us that they are reversing cuts to the pay equity fund, and it is their top priority. Chairman Mendelson earlier this week pledged publicly that he will introduce the council's version of the budget with the pay equity fund cuts completely reversed. But we are not sitting and just expecting that. Here's how you can help. Go to under3dc.org. Join our coalition. We will then send you a whole host of opportunities to get involved. Whether you want to testify at the council, write postcards, call your council members, or if you want to do other actions like attend our next in-person action or event, under3dc.org.
All right. Well, I'll have to leave it there. I've been speaking with Travis Bali, Organizing Director for DC Action. They convened the coalition Under 3DC, which works for better outcomes for young children in our region. Thank you so much for joining me today, Travis.
Thank you so much for your time and for getting the word out. It's important.
And Travis Bali will have the last word on today's show. This is On the Ground, onthegroundshow.org, voices of resistance from the nation's capital, on 30 stations on the Pacifica Radio Network, on all your podcast platforms at On the Ground with Esther Ivarim, and on our website, onthegroundshow.org. In addition to communicating with us, on our website, you can let us know you like the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Patreon.com at On the Ground Show. And I also link to every show on my Instagram page, which is Esther_Ivarim, I, V like Victor, E-R-E-M, like Mary. Follow the Free Palestine Movement at shutitdownforpalestine.org and at answercoalition.org. And I don't want to forget to remind you about On the Ground's 10th anniversary celebration on May 11th, 6 to 9 p.m. at Busboys and Poets, Brookland. You can get tickets and make donations at Eventbrite under On the Ground 10th Anniversary. See you there. The music we play this hour included several portions of Prologue by Kamasi Washington from his forthcoming album, Fearless Movement. And our show theme music is Voodoo Child by Jimi Hendrix. I want to dedicate this episode to a fearless friend and supporter of On the Ground and of Pacifica Radio, Clyde Kavanaugh, who recently joined the Ancestors. He was an Army veteran, retired from law enforcement, and was passionate about human rights, was a huge fan of Professor Gerald Horn, and he fostered homeless cats at his home in Northwest D.C. Rest in power, Clyde. I miss you. I'm Esther Ivarim. Until next time, take good care. And keep raising your voice. Peace.
I didn't mean to take up all your sweet time. I'll give it right back to you one of these days.
On the Ground is a totally listener-sponsored, supported show, and we are in need of your support. If you rely on the show, if you listen to the show, you come to look forward to what we are able to offer every week, please support us on Patreon at patreon.com/ontheground show. And you can also give on our website through PayPal or other means if you want to send a check. All that information is there. But please, please support us. I want to thank our supporters on Patreon so much. And for those who are already supporting, if you can tell a friend who you know would love to sign up, we need the support. Patreon.com/ontheground show or go to onthegroundshow.org. Thank you.